WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
Don't
worry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football on Giant 90.9. It's a special noontime fall break edition. Here in Ben Davis. Of course, if you're out listening in the world, that doesn't mean anything to you. You're probably at work or doing whatever you do normally, but we're on fall break this week here at the MSD of Wayne Township. So we moved the show a little bit earlier in the day to accommodate schedules, and we didn't know that this man was going to be with us. Jeff Robinson is here with us today. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Sorry I missed a week in there. Fortunately, I had some family details to help out with. Got to take care of those grandkids sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And Coach Mike Kirster also here.
Yep, glad to be back. It's going to be a fun week and tournament time. It's second season, so glad to be talking about getting ready for the next game.
David Mills, the normal host, is in school in Mooresville right now. So hello, David, if you happen to be listening on your phone. Put the phone away and pay attention in class. This will be up on Audio Boom later on today. So, first of all, Coach, congratulations. Finish off the season 9-0, and we go back 2 weeks, and you defeated, and I had to write it down, to be honest, you defeated the North Central Panthers 58-14 in the last game of the regular season. Talk about the game, Coach.
Good game all around. I thought we did some good things on special teams. We blocked a punt. Defense came out, played really well. North Central had a pretty good scheme on the opening drive, got a couple first downs. We adjusted. They had done some things we hadn't seen. Kind of got some quick stops, and the offense kind of took over. We were very efficient with the ball. I don't believe we punted on our first possession of the game. We had a three and out, which is very uncharacteristic of our offense, and then I think we scored on the next seven or eight possessions right after that. Fortunately, we were able to get a lot of our starters out early. Reese played one series of the second half. We were able to get him off the field and then started subbing from there. We built a pretty good lead, and they scored a couple late that made it to 58-14. But overall, I was real pleased with the game. I was pleased we came out. It was senior night for our kids, so you never know. That might have been their last. We're on the road this week, so that might have been our last home game that they would ever play on that field. And we kind of addressed that ahead of time, that they wanted to go out and put an exclamation mark on a great season, regular season, and finish 9-0. And in our conference, just to finish 7-0. You know, we haven't been 7-0 in conference play since, I believe, 2001. Mm-hmm. We've had several 6-1 years. 2003, we were 6-1. 2012, 2013, we were 6-1. But to finish 7-0 and two-game advantage on everybody else in the conference is an accomplishment. And I believe we were talking off the air, there are 323 football schools in Indiana, and only 13 of them finished the regular season undefeated. So that's a unique milestone in and of itself. And I thought the kids did a nice job taking care of business.
Coach, North Central has been the one team that's probably had the biggest struggle of late in the Metropolitan Conference there. Talk about where that you saw improvements in their program.
Major improvements. I thought their overall line play, Kevin O'Shea's scheme is really good. They moved Cole McGuire, who'd been a quarterback the last few years, moved him to receiver, and he really fits in that spot. The young man they got playing quarterback is strong arm, tough kid. He's not very big, but he's tough. We hit him numerous times. And then the other side of the ball, defensively, their scheme is really good. Their defensive coordinator does a great job, and you can just tell they're more polished than they've ever been in the last few years. And they were senior loaded. The thing they still struggle with, And I talked to Kevin O'Shea about this at length, is that when they do get a kid hurt, you know, if we lose a kid, there's another kid that goes in that might be pretty good still. They just don't have that depth. They lost a couple linemen, one of them at the very beginning of the season who's very good, and he broke his leg, you know. And he goes, I just don't have a kid behind him, because we talked about me losing a kid in the scrimmage to a broken leg. And he goes, but your next kid in is a little better than my next kid in. And he says, we got to get our numbers up. We got to build team depth. But it's definite noticeable from a coaching standpoint. And having seen a long time, that Kevin and his kid guys have done a nice job getting their kids to buy in, believe in what they're selling, and putting a good product on the field.
Coach, I went through and looked at some statistics from this season, and, you know, you talk about some of the individual stats. I mean, Reese Taylor's about to become the all-time leading passer in Ben Davis history. He's already, I believe, the all-time leading total yards in Ben Davis history, passed James Banks a couple weeks ago for that. You look at Brock Thompson, wrong Thompson, both receivers, though.
Yeah.
Brock Thompson, who is about ready to kind of rewrite the record book for receiver, should you get a nice little run in the playoffs here. But overall, this has to please you for the team. You were plus 301 points between points scored and points allowed. Scored 424 points, which was first in the MIAC, and you gave up only 123 points, which was also first in the MIAC this year. And just to put that in perspective, Lawrence North scored a total of 146 points this year. So you were plus 301.
Yeah.
And LN, I mean, so you were two times what Lawrence North scored ahead of your opponent. That just blows my mind. Talk about how this season has gone from the statistical standpoint, and just the way that you really dominated.
Yeah, well, we've been very fortunate. We've stayed very healthy over the course of the year, which helps. It helps with the continuity on and off the field. We're very fortunate to have a quarterback of Reese Taylor's caliber. Not only can he throw it, he can run it. And we really haven't used him to run it as much as we did the year before. His per carries per game is down substantially from the year before, but that's because the number of carries for guys like Johnny Adams, who, if everything goes well, will be a 1,000-yard rusher on Friday night, and he's at 900 and something. And then you've got good runners in Joey Person and Delbert Mims who have also shared the wealth. And then because we're able to statistically spread it out, you know, it's even more amazing that a guy like Brock will have the number of receptions and number of yards possibly to break some school records, considering that we also throw the ball to Keyshawn Tunstall and Brent Harris and Jermaine Hoskins. And so they're getting a lot of touches in and of their own right, which tells you how good Brock really is. And it's come from a lot of hard work from those guys. And then on the other side of that, you know, and I think sometimes our defense gets a little overshadowed because our offense is so prolific in scoring, we've done a good job keeping people out of the end zone. In fact, if you go back the last 5 weeks and you look at it statistically, our first defense has only given up two touchdowns in the last 5 weeks. You know, we gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. We gave up a field goal to Carmel, and that was really set up by an interception. We really held them to a three and out, and they kicked a field goal. And then last week, the touchdowns were really not scored on our first defense. We'd already subbed our kids out. And so we've really been very good at taking care of maybe bending but not breaking. But to win the scoring title in the MIAC and giving up the fewest points in the MIAC is really quite an accomplishment to the kids.
And you go back to the first couple games of the year, you give up about 50 some of those points just in the second and third game of the year as well.
Yeah,
against Avon and Pike.
What'd you say our total points?
123.
123, and we gave up 54 in two of the first three games, and you know, didn't play especially well against Pike, and Pike's offense also scores about 40 a game, so they're pretty good. And we knew we'd struggle with Avon because we knew they were good. And they had a good back, and they had a great receiver in Garendo, who's leading the state statistically in numerous categories. And so we knew we'd give up some points, but we think we've settled down since then. And the kids are buying into the scheme, and we've made some adjustments. Coach Schwanekamp's done a great job of adjusting the kids, demeaning our personnel a little bit.
As perfect as all that sounds about this season, what would you consider a disappointment about the current season?
Well, I don't know that there is one. I mean, you're 9-0. You're scoring on average, I believe, about 46 a game and giving up about 13 a game. And but the biggest thing I struggle with this team, and I struggled with it at practice today, is our ability to mentally focus. Sometimes our breakdowns on defense, or like there was one touchdown against Pike where we didn't line up right. There was nobody. We were supposed to be in man coverage, and nobody covered the number three receiver, and they just threw it to him, you know, and that's a mental thing, and it showed in practice again today. We were good for about an hour and 20 minutes, and then the kids decided they were cold and didn't want to practice, and I'm like, if you think this is cold, if we're still playing in 4 weeks, this will seem like a heat wave, you know, and we got to get past this, that this is cold weather, and then they get to messing around. They just, sometimes they just, they're kids. I understand that, and I understand that I'm not a kid and I'm 57 and I want to go out there and I want to work hard for 2 hours and I want to go home and break down film and analyze what we did. And they struggle with that. And that would be the most frustrating part of this season is I know how good they are and I know what everybody sees. But I still, honestly, this is true, and people are going to think I'm crazy. They haven't not played to the level they can play at. There's another gear in there that if they decided to put all four quarters and their brains on for four quarters, that there's a gear there that people have not seen. And I've seen it. I've seen it in practice when they want to do it. And I can't imagine what level they could get to if they decided that that was what they wanted to do collectively.
Well, that has to be scary for the rest of 6A if they haven't played their best yet, and you're 9-0 and you know where you are. So we're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit about the upcoming game against Lawrence Central, as well as the 6A state tournament, which kicks off this week. We'll be right back on Inside Ben Davis Football.
WBDG thanks Church's Chicken at 7224 West 10th Street for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Church's is open from 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. daily. Church's offers a variety of chicken, fish, wings, and side dishes, as well as snacks, finger foods, and honey butter biscuits. Church's Chicken can be reached at 317-644-0574. WBDG thanks Church's Chicken for its support of this sports broadcast. This WBDG sports broadcast is made possible by Build Your Future Indiana. 2 million skilled construction jobs are in demand nationwide. This increased demand means job security for those who are certified to work in construction. And 20% of the workforce will retire in the next 5 years. Starting wages for craft professionals range from $17 to $30 per hour. To find out how to go pro in construction, visit indiana.byf.org.
The autumn wind is a pirate.
The autumn wind is blowing. Thought this was appropriate for today and also for the weather we're forecast to have on Friday.
That sounds like the prelude of the Ice Bowl. Cowboys Packers.
He wears a hooded sack.
Now, this is the Raiders theme song. About his head.
And a bristling.
I just love that. I just love it. You know, anytime you can bring in NFL films and John Resenda, you do it. Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football on Giant 90.9. And yeah, the autumn wind is blowing. We've gone from 80 degrees on Sunday to whatever it is outside today. I think it's about 45. And it's going to be this way except for Thursday all week. So, Coach, you turn the page now. Here you go. Getting set for a sectional opponent. You just saw 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago now, the Lawrence Central Bears. Talk about LC.
I mean, being that we just played them a couple of weeks ago at their place, and we're going back, so it's a replay of what we had a few weeks ago. The difference will be the weather will be different. You know, it's going to be cool, windy, chance of rain. The weather's going to be different, but the personnel's the same. They've got a very talented quarterback in Meredith who's thrown for 1,900 yards and 23 touchdowns. They've got a very talented running back in Childs and number 32 who comes in and spells him. He's not very big, but he's a very powerful runner. And they've got 5 rushing touchdowns. And they take care of the ball. They've got 12 and 14 who are unbelievably dangerous receivers. 600-700 yards receiving, 40-50 catches each. Big offensive line, very, very large kids up front. They got a Division I O lineman who actually is going to go to Purdue as a D lineman, Dean. He plays both ways. On the defensive side, you got Michigan recruit McGrone, who's maybe arguably one of the best linebackers in the state. They're very athletic on defense. Bill Peebles, in his second year there, has done a great job. So they're going to tweak some things. They're going to try to take away some things we did. We're going to try and take away some things they did. They ran the ball extremely well on us the first time and kind of kept us off the field and slowed us down a little bit. So we got to find a way to take care of that. And we got to find a way to make some plays in the special teams. I didn't think we did that the first time around. And I think we can, if we can find a way to flip the field, find field position and special teams to help our offense out, that'll be a big plus. But it's going to be, you know, we were up 21-0 the first time we played them at halftime and then scored right away and got up 28-0. I don't think the game will even resemble that. I think it's going to be a four-quarter game, and I think our kids are going to have to bring their A game if they want to continue this journey.
I believe the final score of that game was 42-7, correct?
That is correct.
You look every year in the tournament, and there seems to be some team that beat another team in the regular season that it might be a 30-40 point swing going the other direction.
Right.
In the tournament. What makes it so tricky playing a team the second time around?
What makes it tricky is they've seen you. And being they've seen you, some of the seen you play and actually played against you, that they know some of the things. And some of the coaches always tell me it's so hard to duplicate what we do offensively in practice, to get their scout team to do what Reese Taylor does in practice and all the different formations and everything that we do. Well, now that they've actually seen it live, it's easier to see what's coming and adjust. So it's tougher. And I'll take you back to 2014. You know, we beat Avon in the regular season pretty handily, if I remember correctly, 50-something to 20-something. And then in the sectional game, now again, we played in a blizzard. It was snowing. Right. It was brutal. But
that was as nasty as I've ever seen it.
Yeah, but that was a 34-27 game. You know, and again, some of the things we did offensively, we couldn't do that night because of the weather, and that probably didn't help us, but they were still better the second time around. You know, and if you're fortunate to beat LC on Friday, then you're going to play the winner of Warren, Lawrence North, who have both seen you. And if you're fortunate to win that, you might be seeing Pike again, who has seen you. And so it's really tough. We just keep telling the kids, you're going to have to win the MIC twice. Winning it once is great. You got to win it twice. And if you slip up, it's unfortunate, because in the regular season, if you slip up, there's the next game. Now, if you slip up and you aren't mentally ready, physically ready, playing your best game at this time of the year, there is no tomorrow. You're just collecting the gear and going home.
You know, kind of spreading out and looking at the entire field in 6A, you've already mentioned a couple of potential landmines there for you, one being Warren Central, one being Pike, a team that really came out of nowhere. I mean, they were nowhere last year. They were 0-10 and struggling, and Coach Graves has done a tremendous job. Talk about how they've done there at Pike this year.
Well, what they've done is they've gotten their kids to buy in, changed their defense up, and the new defensive coordinator, Randy Decker, is a great guy. Had been at Pike before, was coaching at Tri-West, coached at Marion University for a while, great guy. And he's doing a great job, so their defense is much improved over what it was a year ago. But what's really unique is their quarterback is really good. And I know he rolls his son in a little bit too, and he's going to be great. He's a sophomore, but the kid they've got starting is very athletic, throws the ball extremely well, and also runs the ball extremely well. So you got that dual threat quarterback. They got some great receivers in Darryl Black and some of those guys. And they've just found a way to manufacture points, and they score them in bunches. You know, they hung 48 on North Central, and they barely lost to Carmel 21-18. And, you know, they're sitting at 5-4, and a couple of their losses, they lost to 3 by Carmel and 1 by Zionsville. And so you take those, they could be sitting right now at 7-2 and ranked top 5 in the state maybe. So they've done a remarkable job. Not surprising. Jimmy's a great coach, and he's got a great staff. Ken McMitchell used to be on my staff, is there now. And they're a good football team. They're going to be dangerous.
You mentioned Pike, and we've also talked a little bit about Avon. Talk about just in general the change in sectional makeup Used to, Avon and Pike were part of your sectional. Now you've got a completely different set of challenges with the Lawrence schools and Warren Central.
Yeah, it's unique in the sense that geographically, me and Jason West were talking about this last night, that geographically they somehow decided this is how it should be drawn up. Not sure really the thinking, but it is different for us. Avon gets to go south. Avon, Brownsburg, who will probably meet up in the sectional finals, and then they'll take on the winner of Center Grove, Franklin Central, Columbus North, who that's a really good sectional. You got an 8-1 Columbus North, an 8-1 Franklin Central, but you know, I'm still thinking Center Grove is probably the odds-on favorite in that sectional. You know, and the only reason I say that is I'm not trying to downplay what Franklin Central and Columbus have done. I'm not sure what their strength of schedule looks like. I know what Center Grove's strength of schedule looks like. It's tough, you know. With that being said, you know, it'll be an interesting thing as we go through this tourney, should we be fortunate enough to move on and get past this first week, how the whole thing plays out and see the matchups as they come to fruition here and people play each other and who pulls upsets and who doesn't.
Looking at the other side of the bracket up north, I know when you look at 6A, it's kind of, I this is my opinion, I'll just say, it's a little bit unbalanced. Looks
little
like.
Bit.
Well, up north, you have, of course, some good teams, not taking anything away from some of those squads up there. But the north, I think, is much a much easier path for maybe one or two teams, not mentioning any names, than perhaps the south is for you or for Warren or LC or Center Grove or Avon or Pike. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, we're just listing right. The Hoos Fishers, yep. who sneaked up and won the HCC this year. So they're all now in the south. You look up north, Lafayette Jeff had a great year. Valparaiso's back on the map. Penn, of course, is still Penn. Kind of don't know what they have yet. You got Carmel, of course.
Snyder.
Westfield, they're injured, hurt. Yep. Snyder's been number two or number three in the state for a while. What do you think about the northern half of the 6A bracket?
I wish I was going north. I mean, that tells you what I think. And not that they're playing bad football. I just think as a whole, the majority of your talent, at least this year, is sitting in the south. And but we can argue this, that, or whatever. I still think the IHSA would do themselves good if they would seed the north and seed the south. I'm not asking you to draw the geographics any different, but the number one team in the south should be playing the number 16 team in the south. You wouldn't like the NCAA tourney if Kentucky and Duke played in the very first game, and IUPUI played IUPUI Fort Wayne in the first game, and one of them got to move on and Duke got to go home. No, nobody would like that. Nobody. I mean, the bookies wouldn't like it in Vegas, and the fans wouldn't like it. They would think it was wrong. And you know, ultimately, if you truly want a tournament and you're really wanting to run a tournament, there's no tournament in the world anymore that doesn't try to set it where it's not just a blind draw. The idea that this is the way it should be, I don't know, still kind of blows my mind. I'm not sure the powers to be want to mess with it. I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning is. It's, you know, well, we could always have that 1-8 team upset that 8-1 team. No, what happens is a 1-8 team plays a 1-8 team and they get to move on, and the 8-1 team that played an 8-1 team last week gets to go home. And he goes, well, you still had a good year. Really? Is that what you want? And then the team that's now 9-1 plays a team that's 2-8 and just pummels them by 50. And that's not good football. And it's not good for the tournament. It's not good for the fans who want to see it build, who want to see the good teams keep moving. And everybody says, well, you're Ben Davis because you're always good. That's not always true. You know, 2 years ago, we were 6-5, finished the season 6-5, regular season 5-4. We would not have been a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed in the South. So we would have had to play really good teams to survive. And that's what we should have been. And because we shouldn't have been seeded high. We lost 4 times. We shouldn't have been a top seed. But it's almost to the point now where, you know, this sounds really crazy and it would never happen, but drop out of the MIC find 8 or 9 games we know we can win, stay healthy, play them, and then go play the tournament. Because there's no reward for busting your butt for 9 weeks. And you say, well, you won your conference. Okay, yeah, that's great, and we are happy about that. That's not anything to sneeze about. But at the same time, is it's what best for high school football? Is it good that Roncalli and Cathedral are playing this weekend? Is that what's best for 5A football? And then the winner of that's probably going to play a really good Decatur team. And I'm not sure it's what's good for football, you know. So,
because then you knock out your top three in the first 3 weeks of the tournament.
Yeah. And then somebody gets in, I don't know, and you're saying, well, that's just the luck of the draw. Well, is that the luck of the draw, or is that the people who make the rules and just tell us to live with it? You know, and again, I don't know if the IHSA ever hears anything I say. I said it last night on the Mick Network. I said the exact same thing, you know, that we can look at change. Change is okay. You know, there was a quote, and I can't remember who said the quote, sometime a little revolution is okay because it gets us to think outside the box, you know, and sometimes we need to start thinking differently. You know, the idea that the Milan miracle is going to somehow pop up again and a 1-8 football team is going to appear in the state finals in 6A, 5A is probably not going to happen.
Just also another thing that I actually stumbled across this week. There's been some off the field distractions affecting some top teams. For example, Columbus North, Tim Bless is suspended, the coach there at Columbus North. I also heard something about Valparaiso's got some kind of issue with their head coach there. Talk about how off the field issues can sometimes be a problem.
Well, they can be. And unfortunately, and I'm not privy to either situation. I know there's situations that are going on with both of them, but that is a distraction for the kids, because the kids, especially if it's a coach that's in a situation where he's gotten himself into a little bit of a bind, the kids look at us as role models. You know, sometimes, you know, my temper's gotten the best of me, but never to the point that some of these guys have maybe gotten to. But we got to remember that we are role models. We do set the example, and the kids do follow our leads. And it's unfortunate because Columbus North had a really good year, and Tim's not going to be on the sideline for the game this week. And what I'm hearing, he's not going to be on the sideline for any remaining games they may have this season. And that's unfortunate for the kids because they look to him for leadership during the game. And I've known Tim, Mark, Scott, Bless, the family, the dad. They're great people. So I don't know what the particulars of the situation is, but they're good people. They're good for the sports of football in Indiana, and they're good coaches. And it's unfortunate, but you know, there are, like with the kids, where there are consequences for their actions, it's the same with coaches. There has to be consequences for our actions.
Regarding Coach Bless, I understand he is still helping with practice, though.
Yeah, running practices. Yeah, I don't know how that all works. I do believe he is helping with practice and game prep and all that, but just can't be at the game. And I believe the other coach that was involved in the incident's the same scenario.
This is just a out of the blue question here, but it kind of relates to what we were just talking about. A few years ago, you may remember this, Carmel and Center Grove were playing, and right before the half, Center Grove was really in the game. Carmel was good that year. Center Grove was, I think they're actually both in the South Semi-State that year, and Coach Moore got, I guess, accidentally hit on the sidelines by his defensive coordinator, I think it was. I don't know if you remember the incident I'm talking about, but it kind of knocked him silly there. You know, things happen sometimes on the sidelines. Joe Paterno from Penn State a few years ago gets hit on the sidelines on a play. Do you guys ever have a contingency as to what happens if you or perhaps one of the key coaches, something happens on the sideline during a game, or is there something where somebody would just pick up right away? That's just odd question.
No, because I've never had the situation. That's not to say me and a coach haven't exchanged words on the sideline, but ultimately, you know, we talked before.
Well,
the season.
Well, and that was an accidental situation with what happened with Coach Moore.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, We try to keep the coaches back. We you know, but for the most part, our coaches do a good job just coaching the kids. They may not like all the decisions I make, but, you know, we talk before the season that ultimately I'm the guy that, you know, if we're going to go for it or if we're going to fake punt it or we're going to do something crazy, that I'm the one that's got to make that decision and I'm the one that's got to live with it after the season's over. And you may not like it, but you live with it, you know. And so accidentally, if something happened, I don't know. We're pretty good on the sideline. Our staff, I'm fortunate. I got a good mix of young coaches and I got a good mix of older coaches, guys that are older than me, you know, Chuck Schwanekamp and Terry Seidel, that have been around 30 plus years like I have. And we all kind of keep each other in balance and keep each other in check.
I think it was Charlie Weiss got run over and had to coach the game from a golf cart things like that. Those are things you don't think about. I just didn't know if there was.
Yeah, I've been hit more than once. I've been upended more than once in my career. You know, in fact, I thought I blew my knee out when I was assistant at Warren. I never even saw it coming. And you looked at the video the next day, and my feet are straight up in the air, and I'm landing on my head, and I never even saw the hit coming. I was talking to a kid, and they came in from the backside of me, and that kind of stuff happens. You know, the unfortunate thing is when stuff happens that you can control. You know, and sometimes you get hit just because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But we got to be able to control our tempers and our actions on the sideline.
Well, we're over time, so I just thought I would ask that question. All right, Coach, as always, you get the final word.
Well, I know we're on fall break, and I know Purple Rain's been tweeting about getting to the game, and it's going to be a good night for football. And come cheer on a team that's playing some pretty good football right now. We're a lot of fun to watch, and if you haven't come watch this, you've missed out on something that's pretty unique.
Absolutely. The game will be Friday night at Lawrence Central. 7 o'clock p.m. is the kickoff time. It'll be on the MIC Network, I believe, this week. I'm not sure if that's the only outlet covering it. I know we'll be there. Obviously, 6 o'clock p.m. is the pregame, and we'll go live with the game coverage about 6:45, 7 o'clock for the kickoff.
And I'll be tracking you guys from over at Brownsburg, covering Brownsburg and Perry Meridian.
As always, you can follow score updates on Twitter. We'll have that for you at WBDG. Much, much more. We're looking forward to this run, Coach. Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. That's going to do it for Inside Ben Davis. Shut off my mic too early. That's going to do it for Inside Ben Davis Football this week. Hopefully, we'll be back next week. We'll be in studio again because of girls basketball, October 31st on Halloween. That's our next show. So thanks for joining us here at the early edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. We'll see you next week.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.